Beach, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Arkansas State Police arresting 28-year-old Andrew McCann of Springdale in Saturday's killing of Clinton and Kristen Brink while they were hiking with their children at a state park. Search crews recovered the body of a man and two young girls in a biofuels plant making wood pellets that exploded Tuesday in Fremont, Nebraska. Officials say the man was an employee at the plant. President Trump announcing he's reached a trade deal with South Korea for a 15% tariff. As for India, tariffs will be 25%.
The president says it's because India's tariffs on products that we export there are just too high, that they haven't opened their market to American products. And there's a reason then he's going to put this very steep 25% tariff then on the goods that we bring into this country from India.
ABC's Karen Travers. The Navy confirms that an F-35C fighter aircraft crashed Wednesday evening at Naval Air Station Lemoore in Central California, says the pilot ejected safely. This is ABC News. A city councilman attacked at his place of business in Virginia. Danville police say a suspect with a personal matter confronted Lee Volger, covered him in flammable liquid, and set him on fire. Volger's boss, Showcase magazine owner Andrew Brooks.
This type of senseless act of violence has to stop. You do not have the right as a human being to get upset with someone enough to lash out and attempt to harm them in any way. Much less this way.
Police say the suspect, Shotzi Michael Buck Hayes, is facing attempted first-degree murder charges. Security firms across the country say they're getting a growing number of calls from corporations worried about workplace safety in the wake of the New York City office building shooting. Hershey says President Trump's tariffs will cost the company between $170 and $180 million this year. Earlier this month, the chocolate maker said it would raise prices because of rising cocoa costs. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers prepare for family night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers holding practice in pads on Saturday. They're expecting a sellout for family night at Lambeau Field. Second-year running back Marshawn Lloyd is out with a groin injury. Baseball, the Brewers traveling to D.C. today. They'll face the Washington Nationals tomorrow night. The Crew losing to the Cubs 10-3 yesterday. They won the series 2-1, but fell short of a sweep. Pitcher Freddie Peralta.
I'm happy because we won the series, but, you know, my goal for today was just trying to give my best to sweep them, but, you know.
Peralta giving up 5 earned runs in just 4 innings, his worst start of the season. His first pitch of the game, a home run.
Freddie always gives you a chance. He did some good things. You know, he'd like to have that one pitch back. I don't mind that the kid hit the first pitch out of the park, but we got deeper into it. You know, walking people, that's not part of his gig. That's not the best Freddie when he walks people.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 75 this afternoon. Tonight, clear, will drop down into the upper 40s to near 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Jane Mattinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jim Santel, friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, will be here as we continue to break down the Epstein story and all things sports with Paul Noonan.
Mattinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Mattinair on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Mattinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years, to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwalbe.
Welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwalbe. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you had a great day. And whatever got you here, thank you for being here. I hope we can help you ease into your night a little easier as we talk about some of the things we'd love to talk about in life. Conrad, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had a little gelato before when I got in the studio. It's pretty good. You know, cappuccino flavor.
Ooh, the cappuccino's good. That they have a Dubai chocolate. Have you had that?
I did. I think they're out of it right now, but I did try it because I was interested, and that was good.
I went in there last night, and they were out of it, and now they said they're going to have it back, but they, like, crush pistachios or something and put... Yeah. It's, like, the best... Well, I guess it's not ice cream. I mean...
It's more of, like, a... I don't know. It's salty with that chocolate.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's dynamite. What do you... Is gelato, like, more creamy than custard or less?
I have no idea.
Come on, man. I thought you were a producer. It is good stuff though. And it's just a beautiful night in Wisconsin. It's like it finally feels like a normal summer day. It's like in the 70s, slightly muggy, probably. I don't think the air quality is that great, but who cares about that, right?
You know, it's at 170, no biggie.
Is it really at 170?
Last time I checked, it was at 170.
What is the danger zone?
That is unhealthy.
Okay.
Is what it says. Yeah. And I was going across the bridge back home when I was at the gym before, and it just looked like there was a forest fire because of how muggy.
Yeah.
How, like, there was so much fog, and it wasn't fog, though.
And it's Canadian, right?
Yeah.
If they want us to not think of them as a suburb, they have to stop with the air. Come on, Canada. Get it together. Welcome to Nightlight, folks. Great show tonight. Fun guests. We got a jam-packed schedule here. We have three guests tonight. And we are talking movies, music, and mustard. How's that for a show? And how's that for some alliteration? We're going to talk at 6:35 with our pal Matt Miller. He's a Milwaukee film critic. Oh, God. It's one of those nights.
He's a credit.
I haven't talked much today. I got to work this out. I got to stretch out on the air. And that's never fun. I feel sorry for you, the listener. Matt is a Milwaukee film critic who will be here at 6:35. We're going to talk about... he saw Fantastic Four, so I'm curious as to what he had to say that. And I don't think we've talked to Matt since Superman came out, so we'll discuss that. And lots of fun stuff, as always, with one of our favorites, Matt Miller. And then in the second hour, Kim Moffey will be here. She is the social media coordinator for Appleton's Mile of Music. Have you ever gone to that?
No, I have not.
It's supposed to be just spectacular. I hear it's a... just a fantastic summer festival. It goes on for, you know how long the stretch of music is?
A mile?
It's like a mile. Kim will be here to talk about Mile of Music, and we'll get to know her a little bit. We've had some fun guests on from Appleton over the year and a half, and we're adding Kim to that list. We are excited to meet her and talk to her in the second hour. And then at 7:35, folks, it's movies, music, and, of course, mustard. Now, I say this often. This might be the first time on radio, in radio history, someone has covered music, movies, and mustard in the same show. If people can challenge that, bring it, folks. Fight me.
It might have been done before. Who knows?
Maybe. I doubt it, though. Who's crazy enough to say, we're going to talk about music and movies, and then we need some kind of delicacy, some kind of condiment? We are going to welcome Barry Levinson, who is the curator of the National Mustard Museum in Middleton, Wisconsin. I had the pleasure to stroll into that museum Saturday after I had breakfast across the street. And I thought it looked so cool. And National Mustard Day is coming up, folks. It's August 2nd. I don't know how you're planning or preparing on how to celebrate, but I assume you're formulating a game plan, one of our favorite condiments. We're going to talk about that tonight at 7:35 with Barry Levinson. No relation to Barry Levinson. And we have a fun... Should we do the question? Let's do that. Here's our nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is a vegetable or fruit you hated as a kid but like now? What is a vegetable or fruit you hated as a kid but like now? Let us know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can text us on the app. Or if you're watching the radio on the stream on X, Facebook, or YouTube, you can drop us a message in the stream chat, which is always fun too. I'm going to start. I'm going to say avocado. I wouldn't say I hated it as a kid, but I wanted nothing to do with the avocado. I didn't like the texture or the consistency. I didn't think it had much taste. And now every chance I get, I eat an avocado.
Avocado's so good.
Superfood. And yeah, it's tasty. A little salt or garlic, onion, whatever you like to put in your guacamole. Some people do tomato. I'm not really a tomato in my guac kind of guy. I usually just mash up the avocado. It's great.
I really like to use it on sandwiches, like with slices, yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Avocado so toast. Dynamite.
Yes.
So let us know what you think, folks. I'll also say, now, some people are going to say avocado's a fruit.
Well, that's why it's vegetable or fruit.
Or fruit. So, Chris Casper, if you're listening, you don't have to. You don't have to. Hey, was this posted on social media today? I don't see it.
Yes, it was.
What is going on with my Facebook? I think I need a new social media. Maybe I just need to change my name. You think that would help?
I don't know. What are you going to change it to?
I don't know, like Lone Wolf or something cool. Conrad says broccoli. So broccoli is yours.
I used to, you know, just despise it.
Yeah.
But I really like it steamed with some salt on it.
Yeah.
Some black pepper.
Absolutely.
Or just with some, you know, Wisconsin cheddar over it, like the cheese sauce.
I can't do broccoli and cheese.
What about the soup?
No, thanks. I like broccoli with a little bit of olive oil. And some garlic mixed in, maybe some salt.
That's the only soup I can do is broccoli and cheddar.
That's the only soup you can eat is broccoli cheddar?
I hate soup.
Oh my God, who hates soup?
Me.
That's tomorrow night's question. Why does Conrad hate soup? Are you sure you're American? What do you do on fall days? Don't you like a big pot of beef stew or Senate bean or something? Come on.
This is what I make a quesadilla and I have some really hot sauce on it.
All right.
That heats me up.
I don't mean to kind of jumped all over you there, but I think you kind of deserved it. How have you ever met anyone else that doesn't like soup like you? If you ever meet a girl who doesn't like soup, you should propose to her on the spot because that is a cosmic sign. I think that's hilarious. We got to have some fun with that.
I just don't like the water based to it, or you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Chicken broth or whatever's in it. I just don't like how soupy it is.
Well, that's interesting. I have to say, I'm kind of flabbergasted there. But I like all kinds of soup. I don't eat it enough. It's really healthy too, Conrad. I mean, you should learn to like soup, just like you learn to like broccoli or an avocado.
Well, those are, you know, pretty easy to cook up. Soup is like, if you have it in a can, I feel like that's some gross stuff.
Oh, well, that's all. That's not even really soup. It's just like chemicals. Yeah. Right? I mean,
the main, I hate a lot of canned stuff. Like canned tuna is the worst.
You hate canned. I knew that about you.
So canned soup also to me is, one time I went out to a bar with a friend I haven't seen in a while. And after it, we went to the gas station right in front of our house in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some drunk snacks. He grabbed a can of like loaded potato soup and made it at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And I was like, all right, I got to go to bed. I can't watch you eat that or else I'm going to throw up.
But that should tell you how much people love soup.
I guess so.
I had, when I went to that steakhouse in Madison, the Tornado Club, with my son last Friday, Joe and I went there, and I always, like, I love a good clam chowder. Like, when it's done right, I can't eat many foods that have cream in it. It really grosses me out. But for whatever reason, I'm exempt from clam chowder. So I always like to try a place's clam chowder if I hear it's good, and I had it. It was dynamite. It was outstanding. So you won't eat clam chowder. Do you like clams?
I haven't. I've had it a couple times. I don't go after it, but if it's, okay, you know, out for the table, I'll have a couple.
You'll eat the clams, but not if they're in the chowder.
Yeah.
Yeah. That loses you. Okay, fair enough. That will be. We are going to have, folks, tomorrow night on the show, we're going to have some type of soup-related question. I will think of something, because this is shocking news today that the kid Conrad Krieger does not like soup. A blanket statement, not like, I don't like, you know, French onion. You don't like soup.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the only one I can do is broccoli cheddar.
And that's like the grossest soup ever. Just, and that's the one you like.
It's overload on cheese.
Just take the broccoli out. I see that. I don't know why that's always grossed me out. It's tough for me.
I used to work at Cousins, and they have a really good broccoli cheddar, and I'd always get that with a sub for lunch.
Okay. What's your sub at Cousins?
Oh, I had so many. I'd make it my own concoction of sub. I'd do like a pepperoni melt, and then I'd add bacon to it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I add ham to it.
I used to do that at McDonald's, too. I put like a quarter pounder on the grill, and I chop it up like it was kind of like a sloppy joe. It's no different, though. Like, we got off on a huge food tangent here. I had so much to discuss. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger's birthday, Lisa Kudrow. I told a group in Madison last weekend that when I go to Planet Fitness, I use the hydro massager, but I lay on my stomach. You should have seen the react, and I let it fester for a minute before I said, I'm kidding, but they all looked at me like I was the biggest pervert in the world. Like, can you imagine if you went into Planet Fitness or a gym and saw a guy laying on the hydro massager on his stomach? Call the authorities.
You gave me an idea now.
Well, until you meet that girl that doesn't like soup, you might have to go in and use the hydro massager and lay on your tummy. All right. Our question of the night, folks, is what vegetable or fruit did you hate as a kid but like now? I said avocado. Conrad says broccoli, and he doesn't like soup. And I'm trying to get through the night. I'm going to muscle through the show, but I'm struggling with that one, I have to say. Let us know what your answer is, and we've got lots of fun tonight. Matt Miller's on the show. He'll be here at 6:35 to talk about the Fantastic Four and Superman. And he saw an animated version of Predator on Hulu.
Huh.
I was not aware of that. So we'll talk to Matt about that too. And I think he finished The Pit, which is supposed to be a fantastic show. I don't really dig medical dramas, but I guess if it's done well enough, I could do it. And The Naked Gun comes out this weekend. That's going to be exciting. And it's getting, like, incredible reviews, like 92%.
Really?
For a comedy?
I wouldn't expect that, because the trailer is
stupid.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen the trailer. I love Liam Neeson. I didn't want this to be bad. At least it doesn't sound like it's not bad. And I talked to someone at Flix Brewhouse, this girl Summer, who kind of does all the marketing. She says they have someone on staff there that has seen it already three times. and loves it. Like, it's that funny.
Well, I got a movie to go to then.
So, yeah, me too. I'll definitely check it out. All right, we're coming right back, folks. Let's see. When we come back, we're going to talk about Lisa Kudrow. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
And he struck him out swinging. Went right back to that sinker and strikes out Iglesias to strand the Mets with the bases loaded.
The Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Churio.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, The Buzz of the North.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. We are broadcasting from beautiful downtown Madison on a gorgeous, little steamy, hot summer night. I don't want to brag, but I played a little bingo in college.
Yeah,
we had
the
bingo team.
We didn't have one at UW-Milwaukee.
It's so stupid. I played a little bingo in college. What do you say to, like, I've had people come up to me and say, like, you know, back when I was in better shape, you know, because I'm a mountain of muscle. They'd say, hey, did you play? But I wasn't a huge guy. So they, hey, you look like you could have played a little D3 football in college. And I'd be like, yeah, thanks. But how do you do that? Like, how do you, bingo is just all luck. So, hey, you look like a lucky guy. Did you ever play bingo in college?
It's like saying you could play roulette. You look like you could play red. You look like you're lucky.
Play a little roulette. I had to, today, I was on customer service. This drives me bananas, and I'm sure I've talked about this before on the show at some point, but if I hear one more time, we are experiencing longer than usual hold times. It's if every time I call that's played, that is the usual hold time. Hire some people and have better customer service. Don't give me that BS. We don't know what happened. We're never this busy. You are every time I call. And I end up holding for 17 minutes. It's ridiculous. Conrad, will you Google the Better Business Bureau?
Yeah, sure.
Take a memo. Our question of the night, folks, is where does up north start in Wisconsin? John and Gordy had good answers. John said just north of 94 and in Milwaukee. I think that's not correct. I think you have to go a little farther north than that. So I would say Wausau. Zomer said Highway 29. You said Green Bay when you were a kid, but you think that's not true now.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, would you consider any part of Door County up north?
Yeah, I would. I think north of, really, I'll say north of Green Bay, really.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm only saying that because I live in that area kind of too, but I don't know. It's all relative, I guess, right?
I feel like, because I just went there this past weekend, and when I was there, it kind of feels like it's up north, like, because the towns aren't as big, but they're touristy, and then, you know.
Yeah.
I do like Egg Harbor, though. That's a great town.
Oh, I love Door County. All of Door County is gorgeous. Even on the lake side, I think the bay side is a little prettier, maybe a little more picturesque, but the Lake Michigan side has its own charm. Before we read these texts, we got to play catch up here because overnight, well, this actually came in yesterday from our pal Tony Zimmerman yesterday who texted. We either missed it or it was when we were off the air, and it was what poster was on your wall, your bedroom wall, when you were growing up. Some people said Farrah Fawcett's. A lot of people said sports figures. Conrad had a sports shrine in his bedroom. I had Catherine Bach and Walter Payton. I had varied interests. Tony Zimmerman, Civic Media Zone, says, what do you mean was? Doesn't everybody still have a poster of Bob Dole on their bedroom wall? And not only did Tony have a picture of Bob Dole on his bedroom wall, he had young Bob Dole before everything started to sag. That's a great poster, Tony. I don't really think Tony has that up on his wall. And then we missed one overnight, Conrad. Where was that text? We got a text overnight because we were talking about a friend of mine who heard back. He put an offer in on this apartment. He said, would you take lower? He contacted the landlord to try to see if she would accept his bid. And she said something like, I can't talk. She said, I'm sorry, I haven't gotten back to you. I've been running poop. And overnight, we got a text from Caesar in Madison who thinks she meant I've been running. I'm pooped. That makes sense. Still a weird response. I don't think you ever put poo in a business text in any context, even if it's just part of a word. Funny that way. Thank you, Caesar, from the 608. Much appreciated. Our question tonight is, where does up north start in Wisconsin? And Cam from Appleton had a little fun with Photoshop and gave me a really tall forehead. And I think he means that, like, that's where up north starts in my head. Cam, get another hobby, will you? Making me look
your
bad,
head's
buddy.
Starting to look like a thumb there.
Looks huge. Chris Casper, he's in the 608. Our pal Casper says Tomahawk. Yeah, that's definitely up north. Beautiful area. Vacation land. Marilyn from Columbus says Portage has a sign that reads where the north begins. You know, Gordy said that before the new, when they were on for Maggie, when I was a guest on their show. And I think those guys disagreed with that because Portage is only like, what, 20 minutes from Madison?
Yeah.
But you could argue that the Wisconsin Dells are north because a lot of people from the south go to the Wisconsin Dells, whether it's southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, whatever. The Dells just seems north because it's like vacation land. Thanks, Marilyn. Steve from Florida, Conrad's pop, says, I have always thought that once I get past Wausau, I'm passing the mark on my journey up to northern Wisconsin. Yeah, I agree. That's for me too, Steve. I think Wausau is a good equator, so to speak. Casper again says, get off my lawn, shakes fist in the air. Maybe Casper was texting kids that were actually on his lawn instead of yelling at them from the porch. What do you think of that one, Con?
I think he was talking about your complaint about...
about what?
About service. I can't think of the word. I don't know. I can't think of...
Maybe he's really shaking his fist at me. There's some tension brewing between me and Casper. Remember the other night I said I think I could take him. I'd hit him fast and I'd hit him low, Conrad. Casper would not know what hit him.
I don't believe in you.
He can't sound engineer his way out of that one. All right, we'll read more of your texts throughout the course of the show. Where does Up North start in Wisconsin? And Chris Casper, for the love of God, I hope you know I'm kidding. We're coming right back with Wisconsinology.com founder Frank Anderson. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Arkansas State Police arresting 28-year-old Andrew McCann of Springdale in Saturday's killing of Clinton and Kristen Brink while they were hiking with their children at a state park. Search crews recovered the body of a man and two young girls in a biofuels plant making wood pellets that exploded Tuesday in Fremont, Nebraska. Officials say the man was an employee at the plant. President Trump announcing he's reached a trade deal with South Korea for a 15% tariff. As for India, tariffs will be 25%.
The president says it's because India's tariffs on products that we export there are just too high, that they haven't opened their market to American products. And there's a reason then he's going to put this very steep 25% tariff then on the goods that we bring into this country from India.
ABC's Karen Travers. The Navy confirms that an F-35C fighter aircraft crashed Wednesday evening at Naval Air Station Lemoore in Central California, says the pilot ejected safely. This is ABC News.
The Packers prepare for family night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers holding practice in pads on Saturday. They're expecting a sellout for family night at Lambeau Field. Second-year running back Marshawn Lloyd is out with a groin injury. Baseball, the Brewers traveling to D.C. today. They'll face the Washington Nationals tomorrow night. The Crew losing to the Cubs 10-3 yesterday. They won the series 2-1, but fell short of a sweep. Pitcher Freddie Peralta.
I'm happy because we won the series, but, you know, my goal for today was just trying to give my best to sweep them, but, you know.
Peralta giving up 5 earned runs in just 4 innings, his worst start of the season. His first pitch of the game, a home run.
Freddie always gives you a chance. He did some good things. You know, he'd like to have that one pitch back. I don't mind that the kid hit the first pitch out of the park, but we got deeper into it. You know, walking people, that's not part of his gig. That's not the best Freddie when he walks people.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As fun as superhero and big franchise films can be, it's refreshing when some critically acclaimed films hit the big screen, especially a comedy. The Naked Gun is the much-anticipated remake of the native Wisconsin Zucker Brothers classic. The film stars Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson. Without having seen the movie, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it appears for once that Liam Neeson will not kill a bunch of people who mess with his family. But if he does continue the tradition, it should be hilarious. The comedy is pulling an incredibly impressive 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. To clarify, yes, a comedy is actually playing on the big screen this weekend, and critics love it. Savor this moment, people. The Bad Guys 2 follows your favorite felons as they try to reform themselves, but wouldn't you know it, and darn the luck, they get pulled into another caper, but this time by bad girls. I should mention this is a family film. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 75 this afternoon. Tonight, clear, will drop down into the upper 40s to near 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's a Civic Media All-Star show as sports director Jimmy Cuska joins me to make the popcorn pick of the week. And then Matt and Aaron Ayers, Greg Bach joins the show to talk comedy and movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this gorgeous Wednesday night, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a gorgeous Wisconsin summer night. Matt Miller will be with us in just a minute. Our question of the night is, what is a fruit or vegetable you hated as a kid, but that you like now? We've had some great answers, and we were in the middle of a quick conversation with Ali. Is she still on the line, Conrad? Let's have Ali finish her phone call. Hey there.
Hi, I'm still here.
All right.
Well, the story is actually about one of my grandsons. When he was little, we always had guacamole with tacos and stuff, and I always tried to get him to try just a little bit, a little taste.
Sure.
And time after time, he refused. And so I just started putting a little dab on his plate. And then a couple of months later, his mom asked him what treat he wanted her to buy for his birthday at school, school treat. And he said guacamole. And here, so she posted that, and the Holy Guacamole Company sent them to the school, all sorts of things, holy guacamole, coolers, T-shirt, all sorts of things.
That is
for
great.
His birthday. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Oh, and he loves guacamole to this day.
That's a great story. Ali, thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
All right.
Ali from the Northwoods. Guacamole can be a vegetable or fruit if you think. Like I said, I just make it with avocado pretty much. Sometimes I'll put garlic in or red onion. A little salt or lime. It's still a vegetable. You don't add a bunch of junk.
Onions.
Yeah.
Tomatoes.
Sure.
That's what I like in mine.
I love it all. We have our next guest, folks. He joins us frequently here on Nightlight to talk movies and TV and cool things in Wisconsin. And he joins us now over the stream, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller. Hey, Matt.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. How are we doing?
Good. Now, what is going on? You have a pet. Is everything okay?
Everything's going well. We got a new puppy, cute little Sheltie named Hot Dish, because my wife is from Minnesota, And we're teaching her how to be a good dog, a good puppy. So unfortunately, that means that at 7:30 tonight, I have to drop her off at puppy school, where she will learn how to be a good puppy. But in the meantime, I get to talk movies with you.
Yeah. So you have a heart out at 7, though, right? Not 7:30.
Not 7:30. Yeah, 7. Not 7:30. It's about a half hour away, the place.
All right. So. I think puppy school sounds great, and I wish you luck with that, my friend.
Thank you. She's a very good little puppy. We just want to make sure she grows up into a good teen dog and a good adult dog, too, you know?
All right. Matt, did you have a vegetable you hated as a kid that you like now?
Most of them. Honestly,
really?
I was a classic picky eater as a kid. I think broccoli, I was the weird kid who liked the vegetables other kids didn't like. Like, I liked broccoli. I liked asparagus. I liked Brussels sprouts. Yeah. I don't know if there's one that I've come around to, honestly, because I came around to a lot of the hard ones.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was a kid, I didn't love vegetables, but I don't know that we had the olive oil salt option either when we were kids. I just remember butter or just steamed or whatever, like no frill, you know, but now it's just a whole different world. Hey, I had last week, Matt, I thought of you because one of my questions of the night for last week when I was in Madison, it was Woody Harrelson's birthday. And it was, what is your favorite Woody Harrelson role or show? And I thought, what would Matt Miller say to this question?
Ooh, that's a very good question, actually. I mean, he's incredible on True Detective. I know Matt McConaughey gets a lot of credit for that. But I think if Woody Harrelson doesn't balance him out on the comedy side of things and lighten things up, that show is True Detective season two. Right. You know, I think you desperately need Woody Harrelson to kind of, levity is the wrong word for that show, but just to bring a different energy to what everything else that very serious show is doing. So I think he's great in that. He's very good in The Messenger. That was his big kind of recent Oscar play. He's rather good in that. A small independent movie from, I think, 2008.
I have not seen that. Okay.
Yeah. And then, I mean, he's so much fun in Zombieland. It's kind of an obvious answer, but I think he's just a hoot and a hollering in that.
He's great. And I think he's just one of those guys, people want him on their set. He's a good guy. He seems like he's easy to have around. He's likable. I agree with you on True Detective. I also added No Country for Old Men, even though he doesn't have a huge part. Really well done. I love how he goes from swagger to being in the presence of Chigurh and just kind of crumpling a little bit, you know.
You forget that he's in that movie, but you're right. He fits so perfectly into that movie's world. And he's just an actor who, you know, he shows up and brings energy. He brings a weight to him. He's just, you know, one of those character actors that we just don't have enough of them in the pipeline where they show up and they have their own distinct energy.
That's a great
way to put it. That can just immediately make you trust the movie you're watching.
Yes, that's very well said.
You know what else? He's really good in the Hunger Games movies.
Oh, yeah. Some people mentioned that, too, which I also forgot he was in that. He's like, the guy's done so many movies. You do forget some of the films he's been in.
Yeah,
you know?
And I mean, all but one of those Hunger Games movies is good. Like, pretty much every Hunger Games movie, those middle ones are really strong. We'd remember that franchise a lot better if the final one, the Catching Fire Part 2, wasn't such a kind of like damp squib to end the franchise on. I know they had the new one, the prequel, a few years ago, but that's kind of its own beast.
Yeah. I don't think we've spoken since. I think the last big summer film that came out after we spoke was Superman.
We did. Last one I think we got to talk about was Jurassic World.
Yes. Let's start with Superman. Thoughts?
I really liked it. I think it's really good. I have some issues with it. I think it does a lot of telling, not showing in the beginning of the movie. And I think that's part of the problem when you're on your fourth reboot of a character right. that you get afraid of doing the foundational stuff because you're like, oh, people already know backstory. We want to get right into it. But the problem is you kind of miss the emotional foundation that would make the end of that movie really hit and some of the emotions really hit. But I think James Gunn is an incredible writer. I think I love what he does with these characters. I think he manages to make the stuff that I was fearing about the movie work, the Justice Gang stuff. I was really expecting the movie to feel bloated and kind of overburdened with setting up other heroes. But I think he does a really good job of weaving them into the story and weaving them into the world without it feeling cynical. He kind of pulls off the same move with Crypto, which, you know, should feel like a cheap, cutesy, this is for the kids element. But instead, it's really funny. It's very charming. And I like the Superman. After a decade of grumpy Superman, of emo Superman, right. feeling so aggrieved he has to help the world, it's really nice to see a Superman who saves a squirrel in the middle of an action sequence, who does things because he wants to help people, and that is his drive. I think David Corn-Sweat's really terrific. I think the whole cast is really terrific. And I think the greatest compliment I can give the Superman movie is that it makes me want to see another Superman movie. I want to see more of the Superman. And that's if you're Warner Brothers, that has to be the best thing in the world, that you're going to make a sequel with characters I want to see, as opposed to we're making a sequel because the studio insists that we make a sequel. And that's when you get a good franchise, when people want to see the next chapter, not feel like they have to see the next chapter.
Yeah, that's great. It's interesting, too, because I'm a story guy over effects any day of the week. But I will say the CGI, it was there in Jurassic Park and with Superman when he flies in this. You feel it in your bones. I mean, it's just like it's really there. The CGI has gotten so much better in movies like this.
Yeah, it's got a really good energy to it. It's got a comic book zip to it. It feels like a comic book movie in the best way possible. It feels kind of unapologetically nerdy and weird, and there's weird creatures in it, and you're just like, yeah, of course I love that weird creature. Why would there not be? And like, it's also classic James Gunn in that he brings in kind of weird horror elements to it, and he has such a love for like characters that for some odd reason, like, you would never have a love for. Like the fact that Mr. Terrific, or I think I probably screwed up his name there. I think it's Mr. Terrific. I had no idea who this guy was. I don't even know who he is now, but the movie gives him such great sequences because James Gunn loves underdogs. He's loved them since Guardians. He's loved them since his earliest filmmaking days. And I think he brings that to.
Oh, we lost Matt's sound. Can you hear me, Matt? Maybe he muted his computer. There we go. Matt, are you back?
I am. Did I go?
Your voice cut out about 20 seconds ago, or 10 or
20
seconds. Oh,
no, I'm so sorry.
Okay. I'm sure that was there.
I was just saying, I think James Gunn does a great job of making things, weaving underdogs into his movies and making you care about characters you would have never cared about in any other movie.
I would have liked to have seen more of Wendell Pierce.
Yeah,
that was so weird. And I know that everybody says, well, they probably just had to cut stuff, obviously. But no, I agree with you. Superman was fun. Let's get to Fantastic Four. I have not seen Fantastic Four. Conrad saw it, but our guest, Matt Miller, Milwaukee film critic here, did see it. And what did you think of the Fantastic Four, Matt?
I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it while I was watching it. It kind of has a similar Superman thing where it's really energetic. It kind of throws you into the story. I love I love that it's a Marvel movie that has texture to it, that has clearly real sets and real costumes and, you know, real humans in it. It's nice to see in Marvel. They kind of got lost in the CGI goop looking at you, Ant-Man 3. But it feels too controlled. It feels too on rails. I want that movie to have a little bit more air and life in it. And it's just, it feels, you watch the movie and you're kind of thrilled and you're having fun, but it feels like a movie. It feels like storytelling. And you kind of just want a little bit more time to like let, oh, that's a really interesting idea. Let's sit on that idea for a little bit. Oh, this is a really like cool moment right now. I'd love to sit in this moment. And the movie is just constantly kind of being like, no, we have to tell our story. No, we have to do stuff. I've liked it less since I've been away from it, but I enjoyed it. It's an enjoyable summer blockbuster. It's the first and only good Fantastic Four movie, unless you include The Incredibles, which is the best Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, wow. Matt, before we have to do, well, we've got about a minute and a half before a break, but Eddington and I Know What You Did Last Summer. You saw both of those. I heard from a couple jaded people they didn't like Eddington, and then I've heard it's incredible. So where do you stand on Eddington with Pedro Pascal?
I am with the jaded people. This is the big divisive movie of the summer, Ari Aster's 2020 satire. I think that satires should consider being funny at some point. I never found Eddington ever really funny. I didn't find the jokes. I didn't get on the wavelength of Ari Aster's sense of humor in that movie. And I think he's trying to say stuff about people getting lost to conspiracies and insanity. And then the third act of that movie kind of botches that idea in very strange ways. There are people who are coming to love it. I think this is going to be the most divisive movie of the summer. I'm on the side of, I just don't think it works for me. And the characters are not even half sketched. I mean, Emma Stone and Austin Butler are in the movie for maybe a combined 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And neither of them have a character really to play. It just doesn't really have the focus that you need. And if I'm going to sit around in 2020 for 2.5 hours again, I want to get more out of it than just like, man, crazy times. Am I right? That's like, yeah, funny. We all know that. I need a little bit more than that.
All right. We're coming right back. We have a few more minutes left with Matt Miller. We're going to talk to Matt about I Know What You Did Last Summer, and he's going to give us a preview of what's still to come this summer. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Building and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us. Hear every Brewer game all season long right here on WBZH.
Swing and a bouncer hit the third. Double play ball. Ortiz for Terang for one. The first to double play.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The buzz of the North.
Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up. It is gone. Off the top of the wall and out of here.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The buzz of the North.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for childcare in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh, where can you go when your money gets low?
In the basement.
This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin as we broadcast statewide here and talk about the things in life we love, movies and TV, comedy, music, you name it. Tonight we're talking mustard and music and movies. At 7:30, Barry Levinson, the curator of the Mustard National Mustard Museum in Madison, will be here, and we're talking Mile of Music with Kim Mothy at 7:05. Right now, we've got some more movie talk with our current guest and one of our Nightlight besties, Matt Miller, Milwaukee film critic. Matt, so what did you think? I feel like I know what you're going to say, but like, I know what you did last summer is not getting a ton of great press. What did you think of it?
It's not getting great press because it's not a great movie. I did not enjoy it very much. I think it's really generic and really kind of, for a serial killer slasher movie, not a single memorable kill or scare, which is kind of, you know, the ultimate doom for a movie like this. And it's just really punchless. I think there's a really fun I Know What You Did Last Summer movie to be made. I don't know if you've ever seen the horror movie Unfriended, but like, I want a version of this idea, you know, of kids accidentally kill a guy and cover it up, and a year later, somebody's trying to get revenge. That movie should be so much fun and mean, punishing these kids for, right. you know, the and the movie is kind of like, they don't even kill the guy in the movie. They don't even like actually end up doing the murder. So it's kind of a biteless, punchless horror movie. Yeah, you can skip that one.
And listen, we've all accidentally killed a guy. Make it believable. Just, Matt, what is coming up that you still want to see? I know Naked Gun opens this weekend, The Bad Guys 2, both reviewing very well. I love that there's a comedy coming back to the big screen. I don't know that it gets there without the Naked Gun franchise behind it, but great that it's reviewing incredibly well. I've heard good things. What have you heard, and what else can we look forward to this summer?
I've also heard really great things about The Naked Gun, and I don't think it's just because we're so thirsty for a new comedy that we'll just take anything. I've heard that it has that classic Zazz Airplane Naked Gun style of like every joke we thought of, it's in the movie, you know? And I think the guys behind it, they're the Lonely Island guys. It's Akiva Schaffer, who did MacGruber, who did Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping. They love the stuff that they do. They love the stuff that they're riffing off of. And they're really good at just constantly throwing gags at the audience. So I'm really looking forward to Naked Gun. I can't wait to see it this weekend. And I know August has this reputation of being like the other summer month where like no big blockbusters come out. But there's a ton of really interesting stuff coming out this upcoming month from huge names. So next weekend, you've got Freakier Friday and Weapons, which I'm very excited for. Weapons, that's the new horror movie from the guy who did Barbarian, the Airbnb horror movie. Yeah, I've heard great stuff about Weapons. That's another really buzzy movie. I think it might be a quiet hit here at the end of the month. And then you've got a new Spike Lee movie coming out next month, Highest to Lowest with Denzel Washington. That sounds awesome. You've got a new movie from one of the Coen brothers, Honey Don't, a kind of, you know, dark comedy, Western kind of, you know, detective mystery. That seems real. I mean, I will see another Coen movie. Sure. And you have a new movie from Darren Aronofsky at the end of the month, Caught Stealing with Austin Butler and Zoe Kravitz. So you've got all these really cool directors making really interesting stuff. I hope people, you know, we've had a kind of slow July because it's been a lot of franchises, a lot of, you know, reboots and stuff of that nature. August is where, if you are looking for original stuff from great filmmakers, there's so much really interesting stuff coming out.
That's really good to know. And I just looked up Weapons. I kind of forgot about that. Josh Brolin, Julia Garner, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, but don't confuse it, folks, with the 2007 Weapon starring Nick Cannon and Paul Dano, which got a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's a big swing there.
Definitely make sure you get to the right one. But yeah, I've heard great things about Weapons. It's the kind of movie, honestly, that I saw the first trailer for it and I was like, I don't need to see any more. I'm sold. I don't want to see any more previews. So when like a trailer starts before a movie, I like walk out of the theater. I'm like, I don't need to see anything else. I'm all set. I'm all good. But I've heard really good stuff about Weapons. And again, you know, new Spike Lee, a new Coen brother movie. You know, a new remake of The War of the Roses is coming out with Benedict Cumberbatch and Olivia Colman, who I don't love the director of that movie, Jay Roach. He's not my favorite director, but I mean, it's Benedict Cumberbatch and Olivia Colman. That's a great cast. And that's another comedy. There's a lot of comedies coming out here at the end of the summer. Hopefully, if one of them hits, we could get comedies in other months of the year, too. What a fun concept that would be.
Yeah. We've about a minute left, Matt. Have you seen Together or have you heard that? That's another one reviewing off the charts.
Yeah. And that's another one that I've been avoiding the trailers for. A, because I had heard it they give a decent amount away. But B, I don't want to be so. It looks really fun for those who don't know. That's Dave Franco and Alison Brie.
The less creepy Franco brother.
the less canceled one a couple, and they are joining together. Take that as literally as you want to. I've heard great stuff. It looks like it's going to be a late summer kind of hit. The reviews are really good for it. I know it had a lot of buzz out of the earlier festivals this year. I'm really excited about it. We had a really slow July. The big movies were big, but the problem was there were no other movies. Only 6 movies came out in wide release,
that's
release
crazy.
This past month. That's not great. So it's kind of nice that August is like, let's try some different projects and maybe some stuff hits here. I have seen the early numbers. It looks like Naked Gun might do well at the box office, which gives me hope that maybe some more comedies will show up on the horizon. And the more variety you get in theaters, the more people you will get back into theaters.
Definitely. And I think don't underestimate the comedies, too. If they come back, I think they'll draw people to the theaters, too. Matt, take care of that doggy. Thank you so much, as always, for your time, buddy. And we will talk again soon, I'm sure.
Hot Dish says hi. Thanks for having me, Pete.
Woof, woof. All right. That's Matt Miller, Milwaukee film critic. Great stuff. All right. Our question of the night, folks. What is a vegetable you hated as a kid that you like now? We'll read the text when we come back and we'll recap the show in Act Two. That's coming up next after intermission. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There is an arrest in the murder of an Arkansas couple out hiking with their young daughters. Arkansas State Police Colonel Mike Hager says 28-year-old Andrew McGann was picked up while getting a haircut.
We were able to take a monster off the streets and bring relief to Clinton and Kristen's precious girls.
Police still have not revealed how the couple died or a possible motive. Their girls, ages 7 and 9, are now with relatives and were not hurt. The reason they tell you to keep your seatbelt on even when there's no turbulence. Sometimes turbulence can suddenly appear, as in the case of a Delta flight headed from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam. Leanne Clement Nash says those not strapped in hit the ceiling, as did the serving carts.
People were injured, and it happened several times, so it was really scary.
The plane had to land in Minneapolis. At least 25 people sent to the hospital. Russia attacking Kyiv with missiles and drones. At least 7 people killed in Ukraine, dozens more injured. This is ABC News.